This is an iHeart podcast.
Okay, because the Epstein stuff is in the news, we can't get away from it. We can't get out of the news. I've elaborated my thoughts on it, but I think we should talk again about the deep state or the swamp or the blob or the system or whatever word you want to use for it. Obviously, you know generally what it is. I know generally what it is, but I think it's helpful for you and I to break it down and discuss the who, what, when, where, and why. What happened? So on a very macro level, before we get to any specifics, understand that this is what happens to pretty much every single major country in history. And when I say this is what I mean. The government, whatever form of government it is, it could be a monarchy, right? Whatever form of government it is, it grows. It grows. It is, a lot of this is human nature. You see, you, me, we like having control. We like having power, if we're being honest. I'm not saying you have a lot or I have a lot, but whatever kind of power we have, we enjoy it. We like to control. And we wouldn't mind more. Would you like to get a little promotion at work? Be in charge of a couple? Of course. It's human nature. Government works the same way because government is made up of people, flesh and blood people, just like you and me. And people who work inside of government will, over a period of time, figure out how to acquire for themselves more power. The problem with government power growing is they have at least some authority over you and me. You know, if you get power hungry at your job, you're knifing people in the back to become assistant manager, that's bad. I'm not cheering for you, but it doesn't affect me. That's your problem and the people you work with. If the government does, then we're all in trouble. So over a long period of time, remember, this didn't happen yesterday, didn't start under Biden. Even Obama, who made everything worse, didn't start under him. Over a period of time, the government figured out, I want more power. I should have more power. How do I get more power? They have the same goals you have. Promotion, more power, more influence. And over years and years and years, our federal bureaucracies began to accumulate power. Everyone thinks FBI when I say that, and that's definitely true. But it's not just them. Central Intelligence Agency. IRS, EPA, NEA, you name it, on and on and on and on and on it goes. Education Department, I mean, I said NEA. Education Department. What? Pick your bureaucracy. It could be a small one, one that you don't think about, have ever heard of. The people inside of it want more power. But again, this brings me back to the point I was making. If you're power hungry, it doesn't affect me. If the Central Intelligence Agency is power hungry, it does. Now, over that same period of time, as our federal bureaucracy began to grow in size and strength, something else happened. Other parts of our system, our system of government, other parts of our system began to be infected with the exact same sick religion, and they figured out, hey, I realize I'm a judge, I'm a U.S. attorney, I'm something like that. I realize that my role probably should be to keep the FBI in check, you know, not just the FBI, to be a check on the other parts. But what if we just work together instead? I'll work with you. I'll scratch your back. You scratch my back. We both gain more power and influence. And what it's created is a very, very corrupt criminal system where the judges are in on it. The attorneys are in on it. FBI's in on it, CIA's in on it. I mean, look at this. I mean, for instance, the Epstein stuff's in the news. You know who the lead prosecutor was for the Epstein stuff? Comey's daughter, James Comey's daughter. You probably, we didn't talk a lot about it because I don't do celebrity news here on the show, but you know the Diddy stuff, that rapper Diddy, he was on trial for all these things. Guess who lucked out and got that case? Comey's daughter. Maureen is her name, but Comey's daughter. Which is, Man, what a tangled web that is, being as how James Comey is the former very corrupt head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and now regularly appears on television saying things like this.
I know Republicans these days aren't big in thinking about principle or precedent. They're going to be deeply sorry that that disappears, because someday there will be a Democratic president and there'll be investigations of Republican office holders. If I'm them, I sure would want these career people in place, making sure that it's done in the right way. Look, I've long thought that you could shrink the size of some of the Department of Justice headquarters units, but this is like burning down the house and then standing in front of the pile of ashes and saying, yeah, we really did need to retile the guest bath, right? This is destroying the place at a cost that's going to take years and years to rebuild.
I know what you were screaming at the television set as you heard James Comey say, well, one day a Democrat may investigate Republicans. I already know what you were saying. It's the same thing I was saying. You people just did that. You did that. I mean, you remember what John Durham said about Comey in particular. Here was John Durham.
Mr. Durham, in the summer of 2016, did our government receive intelligence that suggested Secretary Clinton had approved a plan to tie President Trump to Russia?
Yes.
Was that intelligence important enough for Director Brennan to go brief the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, the Attorney General of the United States, and the Director of the FBI?
Yes.
And was that intelligence put then into a memorandum, a referral memorandum?
Yes.
And was that memorandum then given to Director Comey and Agent Strzok?
That's who it was addressed to, yes.
Did he share it with the agents on the case, working the Crossfire Hurricane case?
No. We interviewed the first supervisor of the Crossfire investigation, the operational person. We showed him the intelligence information. He indicated he had never seen it before. He immediately became emotional, got up and left the room with his lawyer, spent some time in the hallway, came back.
He was ticked off, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was ticked off because this is something he should have had as an agent on the case. It's important information that the director of the FBI kept from the people doing the investigation.
The information was kept from him.
So I know what you're saying. James Comey's corrupt. James Comey used his role as FBI director against Republicans. Why would he go? How could he go on TV and say one day a Democrat might do this? Well, this is the thing about the deep state. Or the system, or whatever. It speaks with one voice, it pulls and pushes in one direction, and it believes it should. The only true enemy of the deep state, it's not China or Russia or despair, depression, economic collapse. The deep state doesn't care about any of those things. Anybody who may push back against it is considered an enemy of it, and should be destroyed. You realize that people like James Comey, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Lisa Monaco, Anita Dunn, I mean, take your pick, Christopher Wray, they genuinely believe if you could hook them up to a lie detector test that government should only work for Democrats. That things like the FBI, they should focus on going after Republicans. After all, we're the deep state. We can't abide enemies in our midst. That's their mentality. And that's why they've operated the way they've operated with you, with me, with Donald Trump. I want to look back on something because it really, really shows how nefarious it was. You see, Democrats, they came up with a message, a theme when it came to Donald Trump. This goes way back to his first campaign. Donald Trump works with Russia. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, they're buddies. They're working together. Donald Trump is... He's Putin's stooge. Donald Trump's in Putin's pocket. It was a theme, steady, over and over and over again. Trump, Putin, Trump, Putin, Trump, Putin. Very clearly a campaign label. Didn't really have any basis in fact at all, but that didn't matter at all. They were labeling their political opponent. Okay, that's one thing. That's how politics go. Democrats are going to lie about that stuff. Republicans will throw mud the other direction. I can deal with that. You can deal with that. We're all grown-ups here. But... when the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, when he starts talking that way, it may raise your eyebrows.
The intelligence community's consensus is that Russia continues to try to influence our elections. primarily through what we would call malign foreign influence. But we certainly have seen very active efforts by the Russians to influence our election in 2020 through what I would call more the malign foreign influence side of things. Social media, use of proxies, state media, online journals, et cetera, an effort to both sow divisiveness and discord. And I think the intelligence community has assessed this publicly, to denigrate Vice President Biden.
That's weird how the FBI, they dug into it, and they found out all those Democrat talking points, they're all true. And while Christopher Wray was giving that testimony, he knew that Russia wasn't a major player in any way, and he also knew that China had hatched a scheme to steal the 2020 election. Fake driver's licenses, not one or two, lots and lots of them. They had hatched a scheme to steal the 2020 election so Donald Trump could get kicked out of the White House and they could get notoriously Chinese-tied Joe Biden into the White House. China hatched a scheme. Now, maybe you're sitting there wondering, well, was it successful? I don't know. And do you know why I don't know? Because as soon as the FBI's people in charge found out about this alleged scheme, they shut down the investigation. You, me, we'll never know about that pesky 2020 election. The FBI refused to investigate it, all while lying to you about Russia. It doesn't get more deep state than that. And before we go and start talking to our amazing guests tonight, we have James O'Keefe, we have so many people here. Let's not forget about maybe the most egregious abuse of FBI power I can think of, and that's really saying a lot for an evil organization. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, before the 2020 election, took possession of a laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop. They saw it. They knew the felonies, the crimes that were on it. They buried it, tried to hide it. They were just going to let it go, just like they did with that Chinese hacking stuff. But it got out. They got word it was about to get out, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation went to social media companies and told them to censor the story because it was those dirty Russians lying again. That alone should have ended the FBI completely, forever. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am most definitely right. We have the great James O'Keefe joining me. Feeling good. What does that mean? Feeling good. I feel good. Well, look, sometimes when you don't feel good, you actually don't realize it. You just think that's the way it is. Well, I'm supposed to be out of energy at 2, 3 in the afternoon. Make a run to the office coffee pot. We just assume that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be forgetting things all the time. Losing my train of thought. Well, it's just part of getting older. We say that stuff all the time, but that's not true. You shouldn't be out of energy at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. You shouldn't be forgetting things all the time. You do because your levels aren't where they need to be. So how do you address that? Go down to the local clinic, get a needle jammed in your arm? No. Naturally, natural herbal supplements from my friends at Chalk will change your entire life. No more making that run for the office coffee, unless, of course, you just enjoy it like I do from time to time. You'll find your mind works better, your energy's better, your mood is better. Try the Male Vitality Stack from Chalk. 20% increase in your testosterone in 20 days. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack for you. Try it for 90 days. If you don't feel like a new person, cancel your subscription. But while they're offering a 17.76% discount, maybe time to take advantage. Chalk.com/JesseTV.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out. And it's like these new revelations. And I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal.
Well, that's interesting to look back on, isn't it? Joining me now, the great James O'Keefe, founder of Project Veritas and the O'Keefe Media Group. Also, his latest American Swiper series. You can see that on unified.tv. James, looking back on that video, it seems pretty appropriate now for what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, that was 6 years ago. A insider at ABC News leaked me on a hot mic moment, the lav of Amy Robach, Good Morning America anchor, talking about what she really thought. And, you know, there's such a huge difference between what these people say in private and in public. And now we find ourselves in a whole other dynamic 5-6 years later. I don't think it's going away, but a lot to dive into here.
What do we believe the deep state, whatever we want to call it, CIA, FBI, DOJ, what do we believe their role in all this is? It all looks bad. I realize that, but I also don't want to toss rumors to and fro. What do we believe their role was with all this Epstein nonsense?
Well, you know, it's difficult for me as an investigative reporter to tell you what I think versus what I know. Because I feel like if I tell you what I don't know, okay, then I'm kind of engaging in the same type of false news propaganda that I condemn. But I can tell you what I do know, that there's an affidavit.
Please do.
There's an affidavit with a probable cause. They probably should unredact that. I'm not asking them to release child porn or publish anything of this nature. But certainly if there's names in there, we need to remove as many redactions as possible. You know, and I always talk about my case. I was raided by the FBI, and they have a probable cause section. That's the justification for the warrant. And I'm an American reporter, and the Biden Justice Department raided me, and there's a huge section, and every word is redacted. So it's just the lack of transparency. And I tweeted out this week, either there's no there, as Trump has indicated, or the scandal is so big that it implicates a lot of people and could bring down most of the United States government. And these institutions are designed to protect themselves. That's they're self-preserving. That's their only function. And that's the problem with power. It's the problem with politics. So I think one of the solutions is whistleblowers. Like you just saw, the tape you just played was not provided to you by the government. It was provided to you by a whistleblower. Someone in the FBI was recorded a week ago. I published that where they're saying it's a quote show and they're not handling it correctly. I had someone come to me with photographs from Epstein's Island. No one's ever seen this stuff before. Inside of his bedroom, his cell phones, there's names on the phone. You're trying to tell me that all the names on the phone, none of those people did anything wrong, not even an accessory after the fact, nothing? It's very difficult to believe. So the people in the government need to make this transparent. If they won't, then people on the inside need to provide the information to journalists and publish it without the government's consent.
Tell me about how the deep state works in a, quote, buzzsaw way. That's your terminology. What are you talking about?
Well, there's a book called Into the Buzzsaw, which I've read about how the media works. But I think you mean to say, or maybe I've said that they just break you, you know, kind of psychologically. If you are a truth teller, they'll ruin you. I mean, FBI agent Garrett O'Boyle and Kyle Serafin, who I interviewed, provided some internal documents from the FBI, provided them to me, and they just ruined their life, particularly Garrett. So there's that. But the deep state, generally speaking, is an unelected bureaucracy. They stay within the organization regardless of who gets elected. We've done a lot of investigative work. This American Swiper series, which I'm on your show to talk about through Unified, shows people at the CIA describing how they withheld information from President Trump in President Trump's first term. That's against the law. You can't do that. Amjad Fasisi rags about it in episode one. It's not his decision to withhold that information, but there's no way for us to get this information through a FOIA request or to learn about it through the New York Times. We must use this undercover video techniques to get the information. And then in episode two, we're talking about Disney, but what's interesting about Disney, which that episode is out today, by the way, on Unified TV, you can watch the full hour-long piece, goes behind the scenes, sees how we do what we do, talks to undercover people, you meet the vice presidents of Disney, you go behind the scenes. You know, corporations and government are kind of in cahoots, and the deep state is real. You see the faces of the deep state officials and what you're watching. You see what they really think, and you see how they're rebelling against the people that you elected, which is un-American and unconstitutional.
James, how deep are the connections? Because obviously I want people to go watch this American Swiper series. You know what fascinates me probably more than the CIA one is the Disney one. How deep are the connections between big corporate America and our government? Because every time I find out something else new, I'm horrified by what this gangster capitalist system we have here.
Right. Yeah, it's you know, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Disney is an enormously powerful company. And on unified.tv today, you can watch the vice president of Disney say that he's talking about what he's witnessed is the company doesn't want to hire white people. He said, this is the vice president of Disney, he says, Bob Iger is corrupt. This is what he's saying. And they're talking about the influence, the pernicious influence within Disney. Now, Disney fired him. They sent me a cease and desist letter, so we talk a little about that. But certainly there's an alliance between corporations and government, and Disney's such a powerful organization that people are afraid to do anything because of the repercussions and the retaliation that people might be faced when they look into Disney.
Yeah. Unified.tv, American Swiper. I highly recommend it. James, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Come back soon. It's ugly. Extremely ugly, isn't it? CIA Corporation. That's the deep state we've been talking about. All of them now working together for themselves and against you and against me. Let's talk to U.S. Senator. Ron Johnson joins us. I have questions about that Trump assassination attempt. Don't you? We'll be back. I love my cell phone company. I hang out with the Pure Talk boys on multiple occasions. When we hang out, they're usually hanging out with Medal of Honor winners. Like we go get Mexican food and it's just Pure Talk and Medal of Honor winners and just talking about vets and what the vets need and life. Have you ever heard of a cell phone company like that? Does AT&T do that? T-Mobile? Verizon? Switch to the Patriotic Mobile Company. You're on the same network, so you're not going to be dropping calls. They love this country. They hire Americans. You'll pay way less. Look, if it's just about money, I pay half of what I was paying at T-Mobile. Pure Talk makes it easy to switch. They'll save you a fortune. And if you want a new phone, they've got that too. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. Put your money where your morals are.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Well, we just recently passed an anniversary, a horrible anniversary in the history of this country. I don't know that we've fully digested yet what that day probably is going to mean in the long run, but that anniversary was the day that somebody shot Donald Trump, tried to blow his head off, did kill Corey Comparator as he was guarding his family. It's an ugly day, and we don't know much about it. Seems like we should know more. I'm trying not to be impatient. I know law enforcement has to do its job, but I would like to know more. Joining me now, Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin. Senator, it's my understanding you just recently asked the FBI for some information, some records on this. What are you asking for?
Well, Jesse, for what they know. Let's just back up in terms of, you know, my involvement in trying to get to the bottom of these things. Literally the next day after the assassination, my investigatory staff, I was then ranking member of the permanent subcommittee investigation, just started making phone calls to local law enforcement who were very upfront with us. We learned an awful lot. We published a very detailed timeline. And to this day, we pretty well described the failures of the Secret Service. We described most of what went wrong. We've had some additional details filled in. Then try to engage in a bipartisan investigation so we could have a bipartisan conclusion. That was laborious. By this time, though, the FBI, other agencies had taken over the investigation, and everybody clammed up. They stopped sharing information. They certainly didn't share videos or body cams, audios. I mean, they just stopped sharing. When President Trump got elected, my assumption was, and I guess it's always dangerous to assume, that, you know, he would put people in place in the Department of Justice, FBI, who'd want to get to the bottom of this, and they'd quickly do a thorough investigation and reveal the results. All of a sudden, here we are at the one-year anniversary. We've been working on the One Big Beautiful Bill and a bunch of other things, and all of a sudden I realize we just haven't found out much more. It's a friendly subpoena to Cash Patel. I realize the challenges they've had, and let me just quick describe that. You know, you've got a bunch of attorneys, partisan attorneys from the Department of Justice, just up and resigned. They couldn't possibly defend Donald Trump. Donald Trump also laid off, terminated partisan attorneys. So there's a big hole in the Department of Justice. A bunch of people that would be required to do investigations, be required to, for example, provide documents to Congress as well. So I sympathize with the challenge that President Trump and his appointees have trying to get some measure of control over the deep state. This is true throughout the agencies. You know, we have a very friendly subpoena in to Bobby Kennedy, HHS. He's absolutely dedicated to radical transparency. It's literally been months. We literally yesterday just got a very large data dump. Hopefully now he has gotten the bull, taken the bull by the horns, and we'll release the information we need off of our subpoena as well. But this is a tough slog. It's not easy sledding. And again, I do not blame President Trump. I do not blame his appointees. I blame the deep state. They do not give up their secrets easily.
Senator, I know you already know this. I'm preaching to the choir here. But when I hear that these agencies are clamming up about something like Donald Trump almost getting his head blown off, that looks really bad. And I realize there could be a million explanations for that. Agencies famously compete with each other. They don't want to talk. They don't want to talk to senators. They don't want to talk to local. I realize all the rivalries. I understand that. But when people think about the evils of our federal bureaucracy, and then they find out they're not sharing information with a U.S. senator about the attempted assassination of the Republican nominee, it looks bad, really bad.
It is bad. And a lot of it, the blame has to do with Congress. Congress has allowed its constitutional authority of oversight investigation to pretty well atrophy. We have very weak enforcement mechanisms. You know, I can issue a subpoena, try and enforce it. You need pretty much bipartisan support to enforce a subpoena, or for sure, unanimous support if you have a majority. Otherwise, you simply can't enforce it. So, you know, we try in our investigations to try and get people to voluntarily cooperate. We threaten compulsory process. The last step is really subpoena. But with federal agencies, they have the experience that it's difficult for us to really enforce those subpoenas. So they just give us the middle finger. And it's just ingrained inside these agencies. They look at any new administration, particularly a Republican one, as this too shall pass. We can wait them out. And again, it's a real challenge for President Trump trying to defeat the deep state. I know he wants to do it. This is not easy.
Senator, I'm going to focus on the Secret Service briefly here. I'm not a Secret Service agent. I don't want to pretend like I was. I was just a young, dumb Marine. But even I would know you have to secure a rooftop 148 meters from the head of the guy you're supposed to be protecting. That didn't happen that day. The supervisors got promoted. They found a couple lackeys and suspended them for 10 days. Is the Secret Service what it used to be? That doesn't sound like a top-tier organization. That sounds like yet another corrupt government institution covering for itself.
First of all, I think most of the agents are highly dedicated. I know the protectees love the people that are protecting them. They truly appreciate what they're trying to do. But no, I think the Biden administration throughout government engaged in DEI. I think that undercut the quality of the type of work we got out of these agencies, and that includes the Secret Service. So I think what you saw at Butler was just gross incompetence, but it was from leadership. It wasn't from the agents on the ground who, you know, immediately surrounded President Trump, who were willing to sacrifice their lives. So again, I think that's also an issue with President Trump. I mean, he loves the agents who are willing to sacrifice their lives, who demonstrated that they were willing to do so. And so it's kind of tough to really start attacking the Secret Service. But it shouldn't be very tough to attack those who are certainly discipline those, hold those accountable that really produce such a jaw-droppingly horrible result in Butler, Pennsylvania. I mean, it's just completely unacceptable. There's no rationale for it. You could literally take a grade school kid, put him on that stage and go, hey, what are the vulnerabilities? You know, what should we really protect? Anybody could have. Oh, how about those rooftops over there? We ought to have somebody watching that. We ought to be guarding those pretty carefully. They didn't do that. So again, just gross incompetence.
Senator, shifting gears a little bit, there's been a lot of rumbles. There's investigations, Brennan, Clapper, these people. And that's fine. That's wonderful. I love that. If these people have committed crimes, I hope they should go down. But is that a possible thing either? I don't want to sell false hope to people. If someone committed a crime as director of the Central Intelligence Agency, that's basically the worst thing in the world, and you should go to prison for the rest of your life. But that's never how it goes. What are we going to get out of this?
So first of all, I think people like John Brennan, James Comey, I think they are criminals. I've thought that for a number of years. I respected John Durham. I thought he did a pretty thorough investigation, uncovered an awful lot of things. But, you know, what was always the word on John Durham is he's only going to indict if he knows he can convict. The problem is he was operating within the D.C. venue. 90% plus of the jury pool voted, you know, heavily for Democrats, you know, dedicated Democrat voters. And he just never felt he could get a conviction. I think the difference with this conspiracy case, you could move the venue possibly down to Florida, where you might actually have a more unbiased jury pool and you might actually get a conviction. So again, I hope they you know, really do pursue this. I think these people should be indicted. I think they certainly should be convicted and they should pay a price. At a minimum, we have exposed them. That's the first, from my standpoint, first step in accountability. I don't know how anybody could ever possibly extend a security clearance or employ people like John Brennan and James Comey.
Finally, what are you doing for the vaccine injured? I know this is something, and I appreciate this very much about you, that you are passionate about. There were people who were harmed. That's not arguable now. They were all told to shut up and just everyone take it. Who cares if you have a stroke? But that's not fair to people who were forced, coerced into taking something that did them great harm. What are we doing with these people?
First of all, I'm giving them a platform to tell their stories. They've never been offered that. In our first hearing where we had Dr. Joel Walzcock, who's injured by the COVID injection, I asked him, you know, what is the feeling of your group, you know, RAC-19, people, other injured individuals? He said, abandoned. They're just completely abandoned. They are parts of vaccine trials. I mean, these aren't anti-vaxxers. Anybody who's vaccine injured is not an anti-vaxxer, but they were injured. And the medical establishment, federal health agencies, the news media completely cover it up. It's got to be such a lonely feeling. And of course, the stories we heard in testimony on Tuesday, they're absolutely heartbreaking. I got to, you know, read these testimonies beforehand. I reached out to the witnesses and I apologized for even having asked him to tell their stories. They're just so heartbreaking. I cannot believe. And there was one article written before the MSNBC reporter even showed up to the hearing, grotesquely unbiased, you know, just accusing everybody of misinformation. There was no misinformation. You know, we had a couple Democrat witnesses that told their stories of their family members who died of severe cases of flu. In the hearing, those individuals were hugging the vaccine injured. Again, this is reality. We just need the truth. What I am trying to do is I am trying to bring forth the truth. There's been so much cover-up of vaccine injuries. There's been so much denial. We need to get to the bottom of this, and patients, parents need informed consent. They're not going to get informed consent when all you have is the propaganda that vaccines are safe and effective. Well, some of them maybe. Some of them may have eradicated diseases. Others may not have. We need the full story. Well, we do know that not one vaccine on the childhood schedule was ever tested against a true saline placebo. As much as Fauci lied about that, he could never produce the documents. They never have been. There have been documents that have been destroyed. Again, right now, just trying to get documents out of HHS versus my subpoena has been like pulling teeth. Hopefully that logjam has been broken now by RFK Jr. But listen, we are a long way from having informed consent, from having people really understand the cost versus the benefit of mass vaccination, you know, 80 injections without really contemplating. Every time you inject somebody with a vaccine, you're impacting somebody's immune system. You start injecting somebody with six vaccines at the same time, gee, what could go wrong? You're injecting them when you add these adjuvants like aluminum that never leave the body. That, you know, aluminum's toxic to the body. You know, the spike protein was toxic to the body. The injection turned your cells into a manufacturing site for something that is toxic to the body. So when those cells express that spike protein, the body attacked it. That's called inflammation. That's myocarditis. That's the neurological symptoms. Again, I'm not a doctor, not a layman. It's very easy to understand in layman's terms the potential dangers. We're just not able to discuss it. Our federal health agencies lied bold-faced to us. Just one example, the COVID injection was going to stay in your arm. They knew it wouldn't. They had studies that showed biodistributed all over the body. They encapsulated in a lipid nanoparticle that was designed to permeate difficult to permeate barriers like the blood brain. It was going to leave the muscle. They knew it and they lied to us. Why did they lie to us?
No doubt. Senator, thank you for being on it. Thank you for everything. I appreciate you. All right. Emma Jo Morris, the deep state came after her. What was that like? What happened? Let's talk to her next. All right. Let's talk about freshness, because that's kind of a big deal. Well, at least sometimes we think it's a big deal. Sometimes we take that seriously. If you're out buying apples and oranges, you want fresh ones, right? You care about fresh bread, of course, fresh meat, of course. Then why don't we take that same level of seriousness when it comes to olive oil? We put olive oil in virtually everything. We cook with it. It's good for you. But we go grab a bottle off the grocery shelf and it's old, months old, year old. Stop doing that. Let me tell you about something. Farmfresh246.com. Here's what it is. Olive oil, fresh from the farm. Fresh from the farm. You want to know if there's a difference in taste? Well, allow me to give you a free bottle. It's a $39 bottle. All you pay is a buck to help cover the shipping. Go to farmfresh246.com and taste the difference.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about.
I know you've seen that before. You've seen that on this show, but it really is one of the more jaw-dropping admissions I've ever seen in my entire life. Frightening when you think about the implications of it. I think we should probably talk to Emma Jo for a moment. Joining me now, Emma Jo Morris. In case you're wondering, hey, where did all this Hunter Biden laptop stuff come from? Well, she is the reporter who broke the story. Also, she's the co-host of Group Chat on Two Way. Okay, Emma Jo, this whole deep state stuff, deep state coming after normal people, that's not a real thing, right?
Yeah, totally. except me. No, I mean, I think that I'm among the victims of the deep state. I'm the one that's been really just lightly grazed. You have others who have been harassed, bankrupted, sent to jail in some cases over making a mountain out of a molehill because they decided that they didn't like you or what you were doing or what you were standing for or what you represented or whatever. But yeah, that clip from Chuck Schumer is just blood curdling. And we learned that, I mean, I learned that in a pretty shocking, I think, and brazen way, obviously, to recap for the audience, for anyone who isn't familiar with my story or me maybe, but they are familiar with the story, I'm sure. I wrote the Hunter Biden laptop story at The Post in October of 2020. I was the deputy politics editor at The Post. And yeah, I mean, that was 100% legit. That journalism was obviously 100% true. It was airtight and we knew it was. We had called the people in the laptop who were involved in the emails that we were reporting on. They had confirmed it. We knew without a doubt that at least what we were publishing was correct. And we didn't make any illusions about the material. We just literally published exactly what was on the laptop, exactly what we had seen in the inbox. We did not retract one comma amid all that scrutiny, and still not one comma has been corrected. Not only that, but the reporting has been vindicated from multiple places. And the security state basically just decided that they didn't like the story and just eliminated it from public view in a really brazen way. Obviously, there have been multiple congressional hearings on this. There have been investigations on this. Whistleblowers have come forward on this. And I think what the most shocking part of the story was, to this day, of everything that's come out about it, to me, the most outrageous part was how the security state had really co-opted social media companies. We found out, you know, over the course of that story unfolding that they had basically staffed up Facebook and Twitter to the extent that at Twitter, at least, there was a BU, which stands for Bureau, Slack channel for all the former FBI agents who now were working at Twitter, not to mention Jim Baker, obviously, who was a central character in the Russia hoax and was a notorious deep stater. And he was Twitter's chief legal counsel. Like, that is outrageous. So imagine that the FBI is approaching Twitter to talk about quote unquote disinformation and how to prevent the proliferation of disinformation. The FBI comes to Twitter. If you're Twitter, what do you do immediately when you're approached by the FBI? You call your lawyer. In this case, they call their lawyer and their lawyer is the FBI too. Think about how ominous that is. It's chilling actually to say, and to this day, it freaks me out. And there's been no real change that I've heard that's been reported of this dynamic. Facebook has the exact Meta, has the exact same dynamic. Mark Zuckerberg said that outright on Joe Rogan's podcast. And this has never been addressed, you know, and I testified to Congress in, I think it was 2023 2023, the summer of 2023. And my main message was like, how is this being corrected? This must be corrected. Like, I don't know where the First Amendment starts and stops. What about my First Amendment and the right to not be censored by spies? And that just seems to have come and gone with that Congress and never picked up again. And if there's one thing I think that's really positive about this Epstein saga, and this is really trying to find a silver lining, is that we are revisiting this conversation and revisiting the question of how much censorship is appropriate from people in the FBI, in the CIA, in that big security state network. How much is it appropriate for them to weigh in on what the American people are allowed to see and read? I don't know the answer to that question, but as far as I'm concerned, this has never been addressed.
Well, it hasn't ever been addressed. Emma, just really quickly, I've only got about 30 seconds here. Do you think Republicans have what it takes to address it? I know it will take time, but this has to stop or we don't have a free country.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Listen, there are a lot of issues I know that are very important and that have to be done in limited time in Trump's administration and in this Congress. You know, obviously immigration is probably the top. That's the top issue people voted for. However, exactly what you said, it's like, and this is, I agree with you. It's this really hits to the foundation of what it means to be an American and what our rights are and where the government like is kind of acting illegally, which I think that they really went up to that line in this. And have you seen the Republicans really take anything seriously for that matter? I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope, and it's bad because it's a pretty central right.
You're not wrong. Emma Jo, you are welcome anytime. Thank you, ma'am. All right, final thoughts. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I know it seems ominous taking on the deep state, taking apart, taking down the deep state, but we can. It's just going to take time. It took time for them to build it. It will take time for us to attack it and take it down. Let's stay focused. We do not need to be ruled by unelected bureaucrats ever. All right. We'll do it again.
This is an iHeart podcast.